We're going to bring in a little bit of good news about what's going to be coming up real soon, Dave, and that is, as we were discussing earlier, when the bunny rabbit comes with the chocolate, we don't have to feel so guilty.
That's good.
We're hoping.
That's good.
We're going to be speaking with Dr. Beatrice Gallum, who's just finished or at least just published a study about the topic, and we're happy to have her on the phone right now. Dr. Beatrice Gallum got her MD and PhD both at the University of California in San Diego. She's the associate professor of medicine at that university in the School of Medicine there, and also is a principal investigator in a Department of Defense study about treatments for Gulf War veterans. Dr. Gallum, it's so nice to have you here on our program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really, I went through your bio a little bit that was sent to us, and I'm so impressed, and I'm so thankful that you're taking the time to join us, because you're busy.
I am busy, definitely.
Wow. I don't know. There's just the study alone, working with the Department of Defense study about the Gulf War. There's like 280 folks that you're dealing with?
That's actually my patient panel. One day a week I see patients as a primary care physician, and I see veterans. So that's the 280 figure refers to the patients that I'm the primary care doctor for.
Oh, okay. So it's that plus your job as a professor of medicine at the School of Medicine there. Wow, it's still a lot to handle. And on top of that, you found time to do other studies, including the one that it was just published about a topic that we're happy to hear about, and that is the benefits of eating chocolate.
Right. This study is cross-sectional, meaning that we ask about chocolate consumption and measured weight, so it's not randomized. So we're a little cautious about using the word effect of chocolate, but at least the associations are favorable in this study.
Well, that's good enough for me.
I like I like favorable associations.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I like chocolate, and all I can say as part of this study is thank you, because it makes me feel a lot better. Is there... why did you decide to study chocolate? What was there something? Are you a chocolate lover yourself?
Well, I do have an affection for chocolate. I joke to my patients that it's my favorite vegetable, and that's not entirely a joke, because although we think of chocolate as a food used purely for pleasure, and therefore associated with, you know, guilt and the presumption that it's bad for us, it is a plant-based product that is rich in antioxidants and plant-based nutrients that have shown other favorable metabolic effects. And the genesis of this study is that some years ago I was at a Heart Association meeting sitting next to a chocolate researcher who had, in fact, shown some of these other favorable metabolic effects of chocolate. Chocolate has been previously linked to better blood pressure, more favorable sensitivity to insulin, so better blood sugar regulation, better lipid profiles. And she's this petite, controlled nutritionist, and although she's shown favorable things for chocolate before, when the chocolate confection was wheeled out for dessert, she looked at it forlornly and said, oh, too bad chocolate has all those calories. And at that point, I apprised her of my conjecture that the metabolic benefits of chocolate might be such that it might rev up metabolism to a degree that essentially offsets the calories that are provided, at least for regular, moderate chocolate consumption. And she looked at me thoughtfully for a minute, nodded, and then we both checked in. And it occurred to me a couple of years ago that we actually had the data to allow us to look at this, because we had, in fact, asked people about their chocolate consumption in a study of about 1,000 male and female adults in the San Diego area, and we had measured weight and height so that we could calculate body mass index, had also gotten information on their exercise habits, and given them a food frequency questionnaire, which lets us calculate total calorie intake. And so based on that, we were able to see that people who eat chocolate more often, not larger amounts, but more often, actually weigh less. And this is not because they eat fewer calories. In fact, they ate more calories. And it's not because they exercised more, they didn't exercise anymore, or show any other obvious more favorable health habits. So this is at least consistent with the idea that the metabolic benefits of chocolate might extend to body weight.
I'm kind of surprised that they had the same amount. They ate actually more calories.
They ate more calories, but weighed less, even though they didn't exercise anymore. Right.
Yeah. So there's something in the chocolate, as you were just alluding to, that that picks up your metabolic rate.
Right. In fact, there is evidence of that in studies in rats now, that a specific compound in chocolate called epicatechin, when given to rats in modest amounts, actually increases the production of the energy-producing elements of cells called mitochondria. And so that rats, given this epicatechin, even though they eat no fewer calories, lose weight but gain muscular endurance. So it's sort of like an exercise-mimicking effect. So this may underlie the association that we see in people.
Is there something in the caffeine quality in chocolate that has an effect also?
Well, there certainly could be. Chocolate has both a little bit of caffeine and also a closely related compound called theobromine that is in a similar family to caffeine. And those are factors that also enhance muscle performance and possibly could contribute to metabolic benefits as well. But the epicatechin specifically has been shown to be associated with lower weight in animal studies.
A few years ago, you did another study I noticed on the computer having to do with people's moods and what chocolate does. It seems to have, now I better not use the, can I use the word effect?
Right, you better not use the word
okay.
Because that also was a cross-sectional study, meaning that we measured their mood and inquired about chocolate consumption. And in that case, it's particularly easy to see that there is a chicken or egg question, because we found that people who ate more chocolate had higher, meaning worse scores on a depression scale. It was true for both men and for women. But there, I think people are, you know, understand the concept that it could be that the worst mood could lead people to eat more chocolate, or alternatively, it's possible that there is something in the chocolate or accompanying the chocolate, like trans fats, which are in some chocolate products and have been linked to less favorable mood, that could be responsible. So there, it's particularly unclear, you know, whether it's a chicken or egg or neither of the above that is responsible for the finding, but it was clearly the case that people who ate more chocolate on average had lower mood. Now, I will say that after we published that, we got several fairly compelling communications from, you know, well-educated people who had stories that made it sound like, in their case, the chocolate might actually causally produce depression. In some of those cases, it sounded like a caffeine-type effect where chocolate adversely affected their ability to sleep, and there's a literature showing that people with bad sleep become more depressed over time. Short-term sleep deprivation can actually be good for mood, but longer-term, it doesn't not look good. And then there was another case where it looked like there was a non-sleep-related phenomenon. But for the overall finding, again, it's really hard to be sure whether, you know, what is cause and what's effect.
Now, I believe a couple things you mentioned earlier that are affected or that show change with chocolate consumption was blood pressure and cholesterol. How does that happen?
Well, the cholesterol we know a little bit about. The cocoa butter, the primary fatty acid in cocoa butter is a fat called stearic acid, which is a saturated fat, which we always think of as bad, but this particular saturated fat raises HDL, the good cholesterol, without raising LDL, the bad cholesterol. So it actually favorably affects the cholesterol profile. The blood pressure effects, again, may be related to this many, you know, antioxidant phytonutrients, because there is a sizable literature linking antioxidant effects with better blood pressure, and in fact with better findings on all of these metabolic elements, including body weight, and pro-oxidant things with worse blood pressure.
Is there a difference in what type of chocolate that people consume?
Our study didn't look at that, but certainly many other studies have. And dark chocolate tends to be richer in these plant-based flavonoids, these phytonutrients or plant-based nutrients. So you get sort of the same amount of the plant-based nutrients with a smaller amount of dark chocolate.
And dark chocolate, of course, has more cocoa in it.
Correct. It has more of the, quote, cocoa mass that has these plant-based nutrients. Yeah.
So there must be a correspondence between what's in the cocoa itself. Well, I guess I shouldn't make those assumptions, should I?
Well, but, you know, probably there's something about the chocolate, and pretty much chocolate is cocoa mass, mm-hmm. which is the dry part, and cocoa butter, which is the fat. So, right, there appears to be something in chocolate that has favorable metabolic effects, if not multiple somethings. And so there is a fair amount of rationale for thinking that you'll get whatever it is that's good with a smaller amount at any rate of dark chocolate.
Now, my understanding is that chocolate is not good for everything, and my co-host here tonight, Dave Seaton, has a question for you concerning that.
Okay.
Well, we know that dogs are not supposed to be allowed to eat chocolate.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
And so my question was, is there a level at which chocolate becomes toxic for humans? You know, can you have too many flavonoids, phytonutrients, and have your mitochondria go all crazy?
That's an extremely important and good question. And in science, we're often trained that for an effect to be causal, there should be a dose response curve. And the assumption is usually that means that if a little does something, then more should do more of it. But it turns out that's almost never true in biology. At least things don't continue to be good at equally good at higher levels for almost any nutrient. If some is good, it doesn't necessarily mean more is better. And in the rat study with the ipecacuanha, there was a fairly small range within which the favorable effect was seen, and then it was lost with higher intake. The rats didn't become worse than if they had no ipecacuanha, but they lost the benefit that they had with a modest amount. And certainly for almost every other nutrient, chemical, et cetera, it is not the case that if some is good, more is better. And in our study looking at chocolate and body mass index, although our primary finding was really that people who ate chocolate more often, at least within the range that this group ate chocolate, which wasn't really all that often, the average was about twice a week, and among people who ate at least some chocolate, it was about three times a week. But people who ate more chocolate at a sitting, we began to see a hint of less favorable effects on body mass index, as one might suspect. It didn't actually reach statistical significance in our study, but clearly the direction wasn't looking, favorable. So, yeah, a little maybe a good thing, and again, our study doesn't really address causality, but if some is good, that doesn't mean, a lot is good.
So at some point, there is an optimal amount of chocolate that you could eat for a positive effect, but beyond that, we're not going to gain anything.
That's right. Yeah,
and
again, I shouldn't really say positive effect from this study because our study doesn't really look at effects; it looks at associations. But in general, taking the body of literature together, yes, if some is good, it does not mean a lot is better, and it's probably not as good.
I associate chocolate with happiness.
Yes,
and it sounds like your study is agreeing with me in some ways.
Well, what I will say is that those people who do already eat moderate or modest amounts of chocolate regularly can at least feel happy about this finding.
Mm. I find that especially with the darker chocolates, you can only eat so much. I mean, you can't just sit and gobble down a whole bar.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of fills you up quickly, it seems like. So hopefully that works that way for everybody.
Yeah, I hope so.
Not everybody.
Oh, maybe not you, Dave. Yeah.
But I will say, I think it does work that way for a lot of people.
Yeah. Dr. Glum, do you have young ones at home?
I don't.
Okay. Did you grow up finding those little Easter bunny eggs all over the house?
We did have, yes, the rabbit did deposit chocolate eggs around the house, yes.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you had a question about that, too?
Oh, well, you kept saying chicken or egg, and I was thinking it really should be bunny or egg, and you might want to...
That's a very good point.
You might want to incorporate that into your next paper.
That's a very good point, yes. And I will say that my parents have a bunny at home right now, so we're looking forward to seeing how the egg production works.
Oh, there you go. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're all looking forward to Sunday morning, and we're looking forward to it with a little less of a guilty conscience now that we've talked to Dr. Beatrice Glum. Dr. Glum is... professor of medicine at the University of California in San Diego, the School of Medicine, and she also is a principal investigator in a study about treatment for ill Gulf War vets. Besides that, she's taken the time to make us feel a lot happier about eating chocolate with the study she just published about chocolate eaters actually being thinner. Dr. Glum, we want to thank you so much for giving us your time this evening.
Well, it was my pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
And if I have any more sins that I want to feel better about, I'll call and see if you'll do another study.
Okay. Well, we have been thinking of changing our name to the Guilty Pleasure Study Group.
Oh, that's a great idea. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. Take good care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.